something with a British accent. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, I am here to review Edge of Fury, starring Bruce Lee. That's Bruce Lee with an L-I. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. So let's get right into it. Edge of Fury is a perfectly fine movie. It's there. I turned it on, I watched it, and then it finished. That's really it. It's so interesting. I couldn't even come up with a proper quote to open today's episode with. It's kind of like that episode of SpongeBob where he tries to be normal. Hi, I'm normal. That's just kind of how this movie was. It's not one of the all-time greats. It's certainly not a sleeper hit. And it's so bad, it's good. It's just kind of there. It's there. It's not offensive. You're not really missing anything if you don't watch this movie. Because I don't get paid to tell you to actually watch these movies. I just watch movies and then I tell you about them. Now you have the freedom to decide if you want to spend an hour and 20 something minutes of your life not doom scrolling or watching this movie. That will now entice you to watch this movie because it'll give you an hour of 20 and 25 minutes worth of freedom to not think about how the world is ending. And if you do so choose to watch this movie, it is streaming on Fossum and on Prime Video if you so choose to, if you have one of those and you want to check it out. I actually own a copy of this movie. You know how you should support your local libraries and how important it is to make sure that people have resources to books, computers, internet, and all the rest, the programs, the safe children environment, yeah, all of that stuff. So it's good to help support your local library by shopping at your local library. And I've always been a physical media person, but just given the increasing costs of streaming and how using certain streaming platforms can maybe cause a some people, or at least me personally, a little bit of like an ethical, like, ooh, I don't know if I want to give those people my money. Buying secondhand media is a good way to go, especially when it supports your local library. And I was browsing the racks. They have like a whole like room dedicated to books, movies, music, even like VHS tapes. And it's, you know, it's always like so dirt cheap. So I think I paid like 50 cents for this movie, which, you know, it's not going to like save my local library, but I contributed. And now I don't have to rent it on Prime. So, you know, there's that too. So that's how I watched the movie. And it's fine. I don't really have much else to say about it. It's mayonnaise. It's fine. I mean, I really like mayonnaise. As a Midwestern Polack, I do actually really like mayonnaise. Maybe that's not a good example. But it's just kind of, it's there. This movie does star, as I said, Bruce Lee. That's L-I Bruce Lee. I will be referring to him as I Bruce in this movie, in this episode. I Bruce is one of the Lee-alikes from the Bruceploitation subgenre in the Kung Fu movie genre. So again, if you haven't heard any of these episodes before, Bruceploitation was this subgenre that rose kind of in like the mid to late 70s, almost to the early 80s, that was trying to capitalize off of Bruce Lee's death, not by trying to create a new original action hero from Hong Kong, but instead just trying to imitate Bruce Lee as much as possible with actors who kind of looked like or kind of fought like him, putting them in movies that either kind of the title or the plot itself kind of reference Bruce Lee movies, or Bruce Lee's death was a plot point or actually like the whole center of the film. So, and Bruce, or excuse me, I Bruce was is considered one of the more successful, more popular Bruceploitation actors, Leah-likes from this time period. Most notably from his catalog, he is in Fist of Fury 2 and 3. Not to be confused with the new Fist of Fury, which is the one Jackie Chan is in, but he is in Fist of Fury 2 and 3, which kind of continues the plot, and he plays like a relative of Bruce Lee's Chen Zhen. The nice thing here about Edge of Fury is that this movie actually has like no bearing or resemblance whatsoever to any of Bruce Lee's films. If anything, this movie is giving Transporter vibes more than anything else. I, Bruce, is Jason Statham, is Francis, is the Transporter. And although I found this movie to be just fine, it's, again, not like a bad movie. It's got an interesting plot, and it does have some interesting ways that they try to tell the story. Case in point, you're just kind of like dropped right into the action, but not, I guess I should take that back. You're not dropped right into the action, because that's pretty run-of-the-mill when it comes to kung fu movies or action movies in general. You know, you're just kind of like thrown into some random mission that has nothing to do with the film, but that, or the story, but it's kind of like the, you know, we're going to introduce the characters to you. It's not like that at all. This movie opens with I, Bruce, being picked up by police to be taken to their, what do you call that? Police station, to then be questioned. And you are just as clueless as I, Bruce, as to what is going on here. Basically, you find out that you are a chauffeur. I, Bruce, is a chauffeur for a rich dude who is apparently running drugs into Taiwan. So that is, and you're just kind of like learning. It's a little bit, the movie is a little bit mystery, a little bit spy thriller, a little bit 70s mafia, and of course kung fu. You get a little bit of everything. More, you know, I just very recently reviewed Hot Potato, so it just once again kind of comes up that it's the 70s. Bond and spy films are just really popular right now, so just to have this kind of, once again, kind of like this international espionage, you know, drug trafficking kind of film, like, it kind of makes sense given the time period. And it's fairly well acted, as you may have noticed, though, in my non-existent quote that I opened the show with. I made a very specific mention, and that was the fact that it was something, something, something in a British accent. So I watched the dubbed version, and I don't know if this is true of all versions or just happens to be the version that I own, thanks Public Library, but like everyone was dubbed with British accents. I guess I shouldn't say they were dubbed with British accents. British people dubbed them, and like, it's fine. I'm used to watching dubbed things. I'm sure one day I'm going to have to really sink my teeth into the whole dubbed versus subbed when it comes to animes. But you know what's actually really fun is watching a movie on dubbed with closed captions on. So that way you can see where there is subtle but still different linguistic choices being made. I've found that very interesting. It's not like, you know, an entirely different movie, but you do catch some things that's like, oh, that's not what the dubbed person just said. Anyway, so in Edge of Fury, or at least the version I own, everybody has is dubbed British. And look, I'm sure there's Taiwanese British people out there, but it was just a little like that sounds odd. That's like, I'm just so used to things being dubbed into American English or being dubbed by Asian Americans, that like, even though it's not their voices, it still like works in my brain, my whitewashed American brain. But the like British American with a Taiwanese actor, I keep saying Taiwanese, I gotta double check that. I'm pretty sure he is. Okay, so he was born in Taiwan, but he is Chinese. Okay, so now that we got that cleared up, I was like, I think Taiwan comes up in this somewhere, and I think the movie takes place in Taiwan as well. I promise I paid attention while watching. Honestly, though, there were some points that, like, I would be watching, and I'm just like, wait, what's going on? Because especially when I got to the final third, it kind of took, like, a Pirates of the Caribbean turn, as it was like, I thought these people were with that guy. Oh no, they're double crossing each other. Oh no, wait, that guy's also double crossing that person over there. And it's like, who is on whose side here? Because it's more than just Bruce's boss that he has been chauffeuring is running drugs. He's of course working for like a whole cartel worth of people. And so now the cartel want to figure out what Bruce knows. And there's like other players who are trying to now bring in Bruce into their business because they think that he like really knows something. All the while Bruce is very skeptical of the fact that his boss is a drug runner and like is trying to uncover like who really did it. Like it's a very good plot. It's, you know, like I said, it's not trying to capitalize off of anything Bruce Lee related other than Bruce looks like Bruce Lee. He's got the haircut, the facial expressions. There's combat aplenty in this movie. A lot of hand-to-hand combat. For as good as the plot is, it is a little bit of like a fight sequences for the sake of fight sequences versus a plot with fight sequences to move a plot along. It's fight sequences with plot interspersed. But it's very good combat. You get all kinds of different terrains. It's just kind of there. It's not a bad movie. It was also, though, just like oddly comedic at times. Of course, the British accents kind of like threw me for a loop and sometimes would make me giggle inappropriately. But there were just other times that's like, that's not how that works. Physics doesn't work that way. So in the final fight, Bruce is fighting one of the mobsters. And again, pretty good fight. They're in like a warehouse, I think, and going back and forth. And they're standing like up on like some boxes or a ledge or something. And they're going back and forth. And Bruce kicks low at the guy. Like it's, the kick is so low, it's not even like he's kicking him in the shins as much as he is like the part of the ankle that connects to your foot in the front. Like it's a very specific, very low shot. And so naturally, if you are going to be kicked there, how would you respond? Obviously, you would, you know, a couple options. Maybe you would like grab your leg and kind of like topple forward a little bit for Bruce to then throw you off to the side. You could take that hit and just like roll forward past him. In any situation, I would think if somebody is going to kick me in my very low shin, ankle, top of my foot area, I'm thinking, especially when it's like my lead foot, I'm thinking I'm falling forward, right? This guy gets kicked in his lower shin area and jumps to the right off screen. That's not how physics work. That's not how. Look, I'm no like stage combat expert. I know nothing about stage combat, although I would like to learn and I would like to I think that would be a fun job, even if it was just for like one project, to be the fight choreographer on a movie. But like, that's not how gravity works, how physics works. Like if you get hit in your lower shin, in your lead foot, you're gonna either drop down or kind of go forward a little bit because now you're like thrown off your momentum. You're not gonna jump off to the right. Right? I'm not crazy for thinking that, right? Like that you're not going to go flying to the right or to the left or backwards. Would you fall back? I mean, I guess you could potentially end up falling backwards, but you're certainly not diving to the right or to the left after taking that hit. Another moment that really made me chuckle was all the way back at the beginning of the movie. So along with being this guy's chauffeur, I, Bruce, is also given the task of taking care of the chauffeur's, you know, he's the chauffeur, of the rich guy's son. And the kid's like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, kind of that like elementary age, okay? Kind of an elementary age kid. And obviously the transporter vibes is kind of coming in part from the fact that he's a chauffeur, but there's something about like the relationship that he forms with the kid that also kind of gave me transporter, because that's always like his thing. Don't get involved with the clients. But like here, I, Bruce, is a much more sociable, nice guy. Good. He's a good guy to his mom. He's taking care of his mom versus Jason Statham and Francis, who's like, you know, will not get involved with the client. So that way I can always get involved with the delivery and the client. So, by the way, that's the second time I've done that joke now. So, because jokes are funnier when you explain them, the guy who plays Jason Statham's character in the reboot of the Transporter, Transporter 4 Refueled or whatever, is the same guy who plays Francis / Ajax in Deadpool, the first Deadpool movie. So that's, there you go. I forgot his name. But yeah, it's the same guy. Anyway, so part of Bruce's responsibility is to occasionally also take care of this rich guy's son. And it's adorable. You know, they like picks him up from school. They go to the park and play. Bruce is teaching him Kung Fu. Like it's just nice and wholesome. And after his dad is arrested, there's like, you know, police at the house, like searching, trying to figure out like what is, trying to get more information and some more clues. And, you know, they ask Bruce, hey, can you take Sonny Boy here and, you know, remove him from the premises? He's, you know, very upset by everything. So they go to like kind of like Coney Island and then something that kind of looks like SeaWorld, and then they're just like out on a nature trail, just like, you know, they made a day of it, right? Like Bruce is a great guy. That's like one thing you never question Bruce's motives in this movie. You know that he is the good guy, and he so they're out on this nature trail, and they got like this like wind up like airplane toy that's like flying up into the air. It's like, I guess more like a helicopter, and Bruce sends it. It like goes off far into the woods. He's like, oh, okay, I'll go get it. So he goes into the woods, and this is where Bruce gets jumped by a bunch of what will be like the boss's crime, or his boss's crime partners. And so he's like getting jumped by them. They bag him, they throw him into a van, they drive away, they take him out of the van, they threaten him. The kid is nowhere in this scene, and there's no resolve. And the whole time I am watching this, and I'm like, but what about the kid? What happened to Junior? Like, where is he? Is he okay? They didn't take him. They didn't kidnap the kid. They're not holding him for ransom. And there's never a scene later when the kid's like, bro, why'd you leave me in the woods? And Bruce is like, I got kidnapped. Where were you? I had to walk home. There's like no resolve. The movie just keeps going. It's the biggest plot hole. It's the biggest plot hole I have ever seen in a movie. It's just like, nobody cares. Nobody thought that part through of like, and the best part is this scene is like, so, I don't know, it's like 5-10 minutes into the movie. So if you just want to see that part of like, where the heck is this kid? Why didn't you take him with you? And like, why is everybody so cool with the fact that like this kid is abandoned, but the kid is also fine and doesn't care that he's been abandoned, apparently. It's so weird. It was such a weird and otherwise like rather fine film. It was a very like, what is this? What is going on here? Why aren't we remotely concerned about the kid right now? This movie also has cemented in me. I've talked about it a few times here as I've been watching these, you know, classic kung fu, blaxploitation, 70s action films that one day when I hope to make my own film or my own, you know, crowdsourced short film, whatever happens, you know, I'm trying to make some notes along the way of things that I need in order to make an awesome 70s film. So by way of review, big cars, big cigars, bigger guns, unnecessarily topless women, a killer soundtrack. And of course, I have come to realize that, of course, in order to have a really good movie from the 70s, you need a scene. It happened in this movie and it's happened so many other times that I just have to bring it up. There's always a scene, usually at like a club, where the music is blaring. And the hero and someone else or whatever, or just the hero, are like walking around and the music in the club is booming and they're kind of looking around and they're like pointing at things and talking to each other. But you don't hear what they're saying. And that scene needs to be in a perfect 70s action film. You need that scene. It seriously, it comes up a lot. We see this scene in the modern era of movies, of course, where they're walking around, kind of looking around at things, maybe doing the John Hamm dance a little bit. And eventually, you know, someone will say something or you can hear like, you know, whisper kind of thing. But for this movie and for a lot of these 70s movies, you don't hear the dialogue. There's no added in whispering, but you can tell they are fully engaged in a conversation that is clearly not relevant for us to know what the heck they're talking about. But it always makes me just like a little angry of like, but I want to know what they're saying. Tell me what they're saying. I can't read lips. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I should learn how to read lips, only to find out that these guys are just like talking about some chicken sandwich that they had at the craft services table or something. But yeah, that has to be in my one day 70s style action film. I need to have a shot where we're at a club and we're kind of looking around and one of us points over at something and we're talking to each other, but you can't hear a single word that we're saying. Not because the mixing is bad and the music is really loud while the dialogue is really quiet. Kind of like listening to any of my podcasts when the music is really loud and the dialogue actually is usually the other way around, where the music is kind of quiet and the dialogue is really loud. Sorry, I project. But we have to have that shot of, it doesn't matter what I'm saying right now. The point is that we are at a club and we are engaged in a conversation and you don't need to know about it. Was Edge of Fury good? I don't know. I still am not quite sure if it was good. I will say, I think I liked it. I rated it pretty low on Letterboxd only because I was just, it wrapped up and I was like, yeah, that was fine. I think if it was like silly the whole time, I probably would have rated it higher. And then it would have been more of a, it's so bad, it's good kind of movie. Cause it just would have been more accidental giant plot hole scenes that would have made it funnier, but it was just fine. Would I watch it again? I'm gonna hold on to it because I already own it and the DVD box is kind of different from my other. It's not like a standard clamshell style box. It's something different. So I think I'm just gonna hold on to it because I have it. Would I watch it again? Probably not, unless I have to because of this show. So we'll see if I ever dust that one off again. But we should probably go ahead and wrap this episode up. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and make sure you check out the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, like Why I Don't Like, Systematic Ecology, and My sister show, My Seminary Life. Things are going on over there. Talking a lot about Christian nationalism right now over on that show. So if you need a little reminder that Christian nationalism is a bad thing, you should go check that out. You can also follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. Again, we're on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, if you want to review the movie before it comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Been a lot of faith over there lately. Should maybe start getting some more pop culture in there. But thanks again for listening. This is Brandon signing off, reminding you, as always, that's how I end the other show. Doggone it. I was really gonna send it home the right way that time. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.